tonight, and then Sunday we'll come back and just start a new, I don't know if we'll start a new series or we'll just be get a new message that day. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is called Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherd returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." We did this series. We talked about different times of Christmas, different ways that we speak about Christmas. This is part of your Christmas. The gift was hidden, different things like that. Tonight I'm kind of speaking about what did you get for Christmas, right? What did you get for Christmas? I remember one of my greatest times, you know, when I was young, you know, in middle school and stuff like that, you would get a long break right before Christmas or right around Christmas time, and you'd come back at the first of the year, and you'd bring your new shoes, new shirt, whatever you got for Christmas, and everybody'd say, "Man, did you get that for Christmas?" Right? "Did you get that for Christmas?" And then you wanted to show it off, and it's kind of why I'm wearing this jacket tonight. It's because I got this for Christmas. It's an early Christmas present to myself, right? Here's my rule of buying something for myself. I go 3 or 4 times to the store, and if I don't buy it, I ain't going to buy it. But the fourth time I went in there, I said, I got to get the jacket. I really like the jacket, all right? So we got it. So that's it. But this, you wear it, and you say, "Hey, I got that for Christmas." We need to start saying, "Hey, what did you get for Christmas?" I got a Savior for Christmas. That's what the greatest gift I was ever given. I was given a Savior for Christmas. And you know what? We need to show it. We need to share it. We need to expose it to the world, right? We need to put it on and say, "Hey, there it is." I want to kind of preach about some characters I never really looked at or examined them tonight. That reading of the Christmas story, my dad, over the years at our family get-together, we would all go to my stepmom's family for Christmas morning, but he would always read the Christmas story. So if you can ever incorporate that in somehow in your family, especially a mixed family setting of saved and lost, it's an amazing thing. Because nobody will ever tell you no If you say, "Hey, you mind if I read the Christmas story?" More than likely, they're going to say, "Yeah, go ahead." And you'll be amazed as time goes on that you'll see how many people that affect who go from being children to teenagers to young adults to older adults. You'll see how that changes their lives. But anyway, that's just an encouragement on that part. I want to look at some things real quick, and I want to go and look at verse 7 first, and this is a totally opposite from the message. We're going to start in verse 8, what's really kind of connected to the message tonight. I want to kind of challenge you to be like these characters we're going to see, but in verse 7 it says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." I want you to underline that no room in the inn right there. You've probably already done it in your Bible, but make it a note right there in 2021. Look at this. Just because somebody closes a door to you doesn't mean that's a failure, okay? Just because a door shuts in your life, it could be a relationship, it could be a job, it could be an opportunity in ministry, it could be something, and you think, "Man, this is the biggest failure, this is the biggest upset I've ever had. It was a no-brainer. To me, this seems like a no-brainer. If a man and a woman is coming and it looks like she's in labor, it looks like they would clear out the hotel, the inn, or whatever it is, the places where everybody was saying, it looks like somebody would have woke up in the night and said, "You know what, I live here, but you can have my bed. You can have my room. You can have, then you get a little bit of attention going on," because I don't know about you, but when a woman's starting to have a child, it's a whole different experience. Amen? There's something going on. Especially, this is not in the city. This is not in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee. It's not Chattanooga. It's not even right here in our little, part of the mountain. I'm telling you, this is in the ruralest of rural. There are no power. There's no electricity. There's no cell phones. There's no TV in every room. About everybody in that inn knows something's going on, right? And you would think, man, I know if you're thinking as Joseph, I would think, "Man, this is the biggest failure. Why did God," I can almost hear myself thinking out loud on Joseph's end, "Why did God pick me to do this? I can't even get him in a hotel. I can't even get him in the inn. Mary, why did he pick me? We can't even get into a room. I don't have enough pull. I don't have enough clout to get into a room." But God knew. But God knew. God needed him to be born in a manger for one purpose and one purpose only: access. If he would have been born in room number 2, or room number 3, or room number 4, a few people could come. But what he was saying is, if I was born in a manger, the kings could come to me, or the paupers could come to me, or the shepherds could come to me. Anyone can come to me. I'm accessible to anybody. Amen? Ain't that amazing? I think about that. Just think, sometimes God, we'll look at ourselves and we'll think, "Man, I'm failing. God's put His Spirit in me. He's changed my life, but I'm failing in some areas because doors shut to us and we're pushed into places that we don't feel comfortable." God never, I hate to tell you this, I didn't mean to spend this long on the message, but I feel the Holy Spirit pushing right here. God never told you anything about comfort when He saved you in the first place. He never really likes it when we're comfortable. He likes pushing believers who want to see souls saved and lives changed, and he want to see the kingdom of God grow. He loves making people like that uncomfortable. He loves it. Y'all, let's get into the message that God gave me to preach. That's a whole, y'all could do, that's message 1A. This will be message 1B. And man, we're just going to try to go as fast. I know it's Wednesday night, couple nights before Christmas, but you know what? Where else would you want to be? I love being in the Word of God. Watch this right here. But in verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Man, of course they were. Could you imagine? Now listen, I want to kind of get deep into the group of people they're dealing with. These are social outcasts. Nobody really loved the shepherds. Well, for one, they smelled like sheep. And it was kind of like one of them jobs that if everything didn't work out, if you didn't get picked up by a master, if you didn't get picked up by somebody who was a teacher of the gospel or of the law, then you went into menial jobs, and shepherding was the menial of menial jobs. It's the lowest of the low, right? And these people are out in the pitch dark. Your job as a shepherd, I'm probably going to preach to myself for about a half a minute here. Your job as a shepherd is not really to do a whole lot in the daylight when everything's shining and going well. It's when the dark comes and the enemy's ravaging and trying to ravage the sheep that you have, you must stand up. Amen? Man, can you see these shepherds every night, every wolf, every bear, every lion, they want a free meal. And every night they get up and they're thinking, man, tonight's the night. And every shepherd's saying, tonight is not the night. But they're all out there, and I'm talking, you're talking about, this is country dark. This is no street lights dark. This is just you and the sheep, and you're sitting out there in the middle, and you're listening for everything. Your awareness on high. And all of a sudden, man, we're going to see something similar to this, but they seen it the first time. The skies opened up, and the heavenly host came out of the sky. One realm opened up into another realm, and my God, could you imagine what those... They were like eyes this big, seeing stuff that we can't even comprehend. We've seen movies and things that we can kind of like get a grasp of what's this and that. But praise God, these men, you're talking about people that had never seen other anything, moon and stars and sun. And all of a sudden they're being confronted. And I'm talking, man, I guarantee you, their knees are knocking. I guarantee they're sitting there going, what do we do with this? And that's kind of how we're supposed to be when we're confronted with Christ. We're supposed to, it's supposed to fear. Some people say, man, I hate it when the preacher can preach in such a way, it might scare somebody. I don't really want to scare anybody, but man, being under the convicting power of the Holy Ghost should bring some fear to your heart. I'm afraid there's going to be too many people who end up in eternity who never got any conviction because everybody was worried about how they felt about the message. We're always trying to figure out, man, I don't want to give them too much. I don't want to hit them too hard. Praise God, I'm going to be honest with you. When I was 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, I remember every preacher going, and the ones who preached with conviction and preached with the Holy Spirit, I was in there going, I need that. I need that. I don't care what I don't care how my response was. I don't care what people said. Afterwards, when I got alone looking up at the ceiling in my bed at night, I would think, man, that's the stuff. That's the right stuff. That's the good stuff. What I'm doing is wrong. Amen? Ain't that? Do y'all remember stuff like that? Praise God. Y'all remember, man, sometimes we try to coddle people all the way up in the 20s and 30s. I don't want to hit them too hard. This world's hitting them harder than anything we can ever imagine. And we're going to hit them too hard with the Word of God. We're going to give them something that's going to decrease somebody so bad that they, man, the only thing you can do is not tell somebody. That would crease them worse than anything. I like that word crease. I don't know where it came from, but I'll mark it up. Verse 10, I love this. The angel said unto them, fear not. That's a God thing. Every time God puts fear into you, he brings a soothing or a healing to that fear. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You might want to underline that right there. What? Jesus came for all people. We get in these little realms of people. We get in these little subsections of people. Well, I wonder if God just came for a certain group. I wonder if he wanted to save this group. I wonder if he's just out for these people. Maybe he's just here for America. Maybe he's just, this is a Jewish type religion. Man, Jesus was born. His whole mission was to save everybody. To save everybody. Amen? Man, look, I want y'all to kind of get into this right here. Look how cool God is. The first people he ever comes to are the lowest considered people in society. He still does that. He still does that. Do you know what we live in? We've been in this region. I've traveled around the world and stuff like that, and I've went places and preached, and I've went stuff in the Marine Corps around the world. And you know what we're referred to right here in East Tennessee? You know what we're referred to? Cleveland, Tennessee kind of used to be what they used to call the buckle of the Bible Belt. Did you ever hear that? This is the Bible Belt. Do you know what the South used to be? Well, it really kind of still is. But you know what the South is kind of considered by the rest of the country and maybe the rest of the world? Ignorant, slow, less than, right? Poorer, not as educated. Man, I'm just being honest. I'm not saying everybody. I'm just saying if you were to say, hey, and if you were to talk to somebody in New York City or California on the phone, they're going to say something. They're going to say like this, say that again. They want to hear your voice because you talk slower. Amen? But let me tell you something right now. You know what God did? God went to the place in our country that is less than considerable. And guess what? We are called what? The Bible Belt, because the poorest, most uneducated people in the world said, you know what? I'll trust Jesus. And that's how God works. Some people get so educated, they get so smart, that they can't figure out that God's God, and therefore they remain ignorant. Amen? Amen? The beginning of wisdom, the Bible said, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. You can't even begin to get smart. If somebody seems educated to me and they're talking all smart and they're throwing out words and they're throwing out numbers and things and objectives and I'm talking to them and they're like, I'm like, okay, but how do you feel about God? Well, we don't even believe in God. I'm like, oh, okay, well, now we know where you're at and we know where I'm at. Anyway, y'all get that later. Let's go a little bit further. I want to show you something. So they're attentive and they're listening and they're hearing. Listen, it's important that all of us hear about the Savior. Amen? It's all of us. It's important that we be a church that talks about the Savior. We should make everybody in this room who's a believer in Jesus Christ should make a big deal about Jesus. Sometimes in this world, we're making a big deal about Christians. We're making a big deal about ourselves. We need to make a big deal about Jesus. Amen? He's our big deal. All right? What's this right here? Verse 15, jump down to 15 with me. And it came to pass as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which was come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. The angels, which are messengers of God, did not tell them to go to Bethlehem. What they did was they heard about it, they believed what they heard, and then they put feet, they put action to what they heard. Ain't that amazing? I started looking at this again over this last week, and I see them. They're sitting there, we've seen, the angels bust out of the sky. They could have sat there and told that story a million times right here in this very spot. The angel came out of that sky right there. And this is what they said, and this is what they done. And they could have got a bunch of people out there all the time and told that story over and over and over. But you know what they did? They went and looked at each other, and you know, they said, well, you know what we need to do? We need to go and see this, what they're talking about. We can all learn something from the shepherds. We need to see. We need to not stop hearing so much and seeing so much and not doing so much. Let's get involved in our belief. Let's get involved in the story. Amen? Because guess what? He never gave them that. You need to be up there in Bethlehem by this time. You know what he said? If I hit them in the right place, if I hit them right in the right heart, in the right place, in their heart and mind, you know what? They'll want to know more. Amen? I love to be around people who want to know more. I want to be around people who say, you know what? I'm not satisfied with what you preach. I'm not satisfied with what you teach. I want to know a little bit more for myself. Amen? I want to get in there and see it myself. I love that. And they said, and they came. Watch this, verse 16. And they came with haste. That's a good word right there, right? They made a hurry. and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. They found it just like they heard it. They made haste. I love that. They didn't get a committee together. They didn't talk about it. They didn't make a plan. What are we going to do with the sheep? What are we going to do with this? What are we going to do that? I have a feeling that the sheep seen the shepherds and all and just said, let's go. Let's go. There's a whole other message right here. I could preach a lot right here. But these are temple sheep. In Bethlehem, these are all the sheep that will be raised to go to the temple to be slaughtered at Passover. They're going to see the sheep that's going to be slaughtered for the Passover of all Passovers. That's Jesus. These shepherds are important. They're about to go see the shepherd and the sheep that will take the Lamb of God, that will take the sins of the whole world. It's not, God never, He never works by mistake. He never does anything by happenstance. He's an order God. He's an on-time God. He's a line-by-line and precept God. That's amazing stuff. And they came and they found Mary and Joseph. Could y'all imagine? Could y'all hear like the little bleating of the sheep instead of coming up the hill? And the shepherds, could you imagine Mary and Joseph? They ain't sent out no invitations. They ain't asked nobody to come to the birth. They're outside. They're probably still kind of kicking themselves about, well, you know, we're still out here. And the baby's in the manger, you know, wrapped in swaddling clothing and sitting in the manger, just sitting there kind of looking at each other going, man, I wish I could preach to y'all like this. Man, we need to be better believers. We need to be better Christians. God, we're going to make a mess of this thing, right? I don't know why God done this, and all of a sudden, guess what? All these, you can just start, like, man, they don't smell good. They're not dressed right. Right? And here they come, just walking up to the manger scene, just walking up and looking in. Can you see them? Probably kind of scared them at first, like, ooh, what are y'all doing here? Right? But they looked in, man, they're like the angels. All of heaven opened up just right over here. And they told us about your son. I'm about to get the Holy Spirit. They told us about your son. We just want to come see him. They wouldn't have been able to come in the hotel. They'd have said, oh, you shepherds. No, 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 no. But guess what? Because there was access, they were like, we come to see him. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is laying in a little manger tonight right outside of Bethlehem, and nobody even knows it. Everybody was born better than Jesus just about in this room. Amen? You had doctors. You had sheets. You had stuff. You had people taking care of you. You had monitors. You had things. Jesus out there with some cattle and some sheep, some donkeys, some camels. Amen? And some shepherds. And some shepherds looking on. I love that. Don't y'all? Ain't that good? Watch this right here. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. They didn't only walk there, they talked about it. They were talking about it. They're talking about this Christmas. They're talking about this gift. They're talking about this Savior. They're sharing it abroad. They went, look, there was this ain't no normal child. This is something special going on. The heavens busted open. We came up here to Bethlehem, and we found it just like they told it. This is amazing. Some of y'all need to get in 2022, need to be more vocal about Jesus. Need to be more vocal about what God's doing and what He has done in your life. Tell somebody. Amen. You won't ever regret working Jesus into a conversation. You won't ever regret it. You'll regret not talking to Him more than you'll regret talking about Him. Amen. And all they that heard wonder at these things which were told them by the shepherds. Man, do you see it working? You see it? They were wondering, man, what are they talking? Man, there's something going on, right? Man, the Word of God never goes out void. The gospel never goes out void. Your testimony never goes out void. Share it and let it do the work. Share it and don't worry about the response. Share what God's done and walk away from it. You know as well as I know the way God works on people. He doesn't. One plants, one waters, God gives the increase. You know as well as I do. When you share the gospel, when you share your testimony, when you share a scripture, praise God, it might affect them one way while they're sitting there. But when you leave, praise God, the Holy Spirit comes along eventually. And you know what? That person you shared that with, it'll change them for eternity. Amen? And if you're just blessed enough, there are times I've got the opportunity. It's one plant, one waters, and God gives it. I've been there a few times now when God's gave the increase. man, I'm hooked. I can't quit. Amen. When I seen the first one, when God hooked them and brought them in, when I've heard people cry out to Jesus for salvation, I'm hooked. I'm a fisherman of men. I can't. Somebody said, why do you keep going fishing? I caught one. I was there when they got caught. Amen. I was right there when God reeled them in and brought them to salvation. I want to be there again. I want to hear it again. I just want to hear it again. Amen. If you ever get the opportunity to hear some soul literally cry out for Jesus Christ, and there's no other explanation for it, you will sit there and go, ooh, I want to be a part of more of that. Amen. I can't help it. I'm just going to say there. Man, I want to tell this story because there's a couple people that know this. We went down to Selma, Alabama a couple years back. Me and Peyton were there. And say it. Sorry. Keith and Rebecca. Rebecca was there. Just went blank on me. You're killing me. All right. But we were there. Look at this. We had this 3 or 4 days where they were doing this, and all of a sudden at the end they had this guy share the gospel. We were sitting out in this open field, and I mean there's all these people out there, and they're sharing the gospel, and it's a big, like a festival type atmosphere. We've had bounce houses and popcorn and snow cones and everything like that. And man, I'm telling you, if you ain't ever been there, it's hardcore gang environment. Right? It is a hardcore gang environment. I mean, it's a rough place. Me and Peyton were sitting there together. We're standing beside each other. And there was like these group of guys sitting right over there on this row of like cars or something. They were sitting there all together. And this guy's sharing the gospel. And I kind of leaned over at Peyton. There's this guy. He's wearing a black shirt, black pants, big gold chain. And he was rough looking. I mean, stood there the whole time like this. And I was looking at Peyton. And we was looking at each other. And I said, that guy, I don't know about that, you know. I don't know about that group right over there. That's tough, right? This guy just kept sharing the gospel, and he wrapped the history of Selma into the gospel and shared it. And we're sitting there looking, and man, all of a sudden, they gave an altar call for people to come. And I'm sitting there going, man, I wonder if anybody's going to come forward. And the first guy was the hardcore gang member. Black shirt, black pants, big gold chain. Looked mean mugging the whole time. Comes walking across the thing. Came to the guy and just falls on him and gets saved. I sit there going, what in the world is going on? Is that not amazing? That's what you never know. You never know. That's why we share. That's why we go. That's why we get involved. Ain't that amazing? Man, I seen that in this message. Just they went and they shared, and people wondered at those things which were told to them. Verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 20. Look at this. One of my favorite parts of this, and we'll be done. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. As we leave 2021 and we go into 2022, we need to praise God and thank God for all the things that we have seen and we have done. Amen? If it's hard to reject somebody who is thankful and praising. It's hard to be mad at somebody who's thankful and praising God. Amen? Some people, at first, they might be, man, I don't know, he might be phony, or she might just be over the top. But eventually, they're going to say, wow, they're so thankful. Amen? Man, I've learned a lot. I hope you've learned a lot from these shepherds. I've never really expounded on the shepherds in this book, but man, they did some things right there that kind of blow me away. Amen? They heard it. They seen it. They went to, they walked and had to see it with their own eyes. They shared it, and then when they walked away praising and thanking God. Let's all stand.